Welcome to the Dr. Hockey Podcast. Welcome to the Dr. Hockey Podcast. I'm Dr. Jay Calvert today on for a very special goalies edition of the podcast with, of course, my faithful co-host and the most hopeful Red Wing fan, I think, that they could potentially get to the playoffs, Jason Berkley. How you doing?
No, they're not getting to the playoffs. It's okay.
You're all right with that.
You know what? I don't know if Yzerman said this or you alluded to it, but I think his attitude has been, or at least has been recently, was I don't think he'd want to just limp into the playoffs or happenstance get into the playoffs and get destroyed by in the first round. I don't think that that's something that's any of us really want to see.
Well, I'd love to see it, but
that's kind of like a ninth place trophy and a participation trophy in a sense. Like, yay, we made it. Just to, you know, I don't think that's where you want to go into it contending and actually to be able to win the Stanley Cup. That's what you want to be able to do in the playoffs.
The part we want to see is them going and getting their asses handed to them.
All kidding aside, he was pretty clear about that when he gets in the playoffs, he wants them to be a cup contender. And I think that's the attitude that a team and a GM should have, not saying, hey, we got into the playoffs. That's not. Yeah.
Well, Jason, sorry to strike that nerve early, but of course we have on for this goalies edition, the famous John Blue.
Yeah.
Great to be here. How are you guys?
Missed you. Blue, I'm excited to talk to you because I've been watching the goalies all year, and I said we got to talk to Blue about that. The goaltending's different this year. There's something up. I want to hear what you think.
You almost saw you see Fleury and Binnington almost go at it.
Oh, yeah. God! You hear the video? They had Fleury on mic, so he had a pack or something. And I listened to the video. You know, he's just such a funny guy. You know, he's wrestling to get to Binnington,
right?
And the ref grab a hold of him. You see, he sets down his mask, gets the ref grabs a hold of him, and he's, you know, he's talking to the ref. This will be fun. It'll get him going. You know, my hair's a little messy. It's perfect. He just, you know, Fleury's just a character. It was, I wish they'd let him go. I put my money on Fleury.
Yeah.
I would too.
Oh, definitely. I mean, it's that would have been a total blast, but the refs got in the way of that one. It wasn't
good. Yeah. Come on, guys. Let them go. We need a good Patrick Waugh. Detroit.
Vernon.
What? Come on.
Vernon 1 year and Osgood the next year.
Oh, that's true. He did go. You can go either one.
Yep.
Well, there was also another goalie fight almost earlier this year while I was sitting at a Ducks game, and John Gibson went to center ice, took off his mask, took off his gloves, and was slamming his stick to get, I'm not sure the Sabres goalie, but he wanted him out because he paddled somebody with his blocker, and Gibson wasn't having it. So he was ready to go, and he it didn't happen. It didn't materialize.
No go.
Well, Blue, the thing is I do think that the goaltending is different this year. And, you know, it kind of harkens back to our time talking to Grant Fuhr, where he said it doesn't need to be pretty, just get the job done. And I think I'm seeing that this year, where they're not looking for, they don't necessarily need the biggest guy. They don't necessarily need, you know, the 6'7", you know, Ben Bishop. They need somebody, you know, and Dubnyk was another guy that I just saw was a monster. I mean, granted, Vasilevskiy is a monster and he's getting it done, but, you know, there's Shesterkin, there's Ullmark, there's all these other guys that are getting it done. And I kind of wanted to get your take on it because it's going to play a role in these playoffs.
Yeah, I think at the end of the day, just stop the puck. Shut the hell up, stop the puck. You know, it. I don't care how ugly it is. I mean, you look at the Edmonton Oilers, and you could argue when you got Curry, Gretzky, Anderson, you could plug just about anybody in there. But then you look at some of the saves that Grant made at the key times, ugly as could be. I mean, but just clutch. So I think at the end of the day, you know, they talk about 6'5" goalies. They talk about this and that. You know, they talk about being square to the puck, and they talk, you know, the probably the ugliest of all time was Dominic Hasek. I didn't hear anybody complaining about his record. his save percentage, you know? No. So at the end of the day, if you can stop the puck, I don't care what it looks like. You stop with your head, you stop with your foot, you stop with your, you know, and we're seeing some really, what blows me away is the athleticism of some of these 6'5" guys. It's just, it is crazy. You know, before you have a smaller guy and you go, cause he's really athletic and he can move well and stuff. And the bigger guys are a little clumsy and this and that. That's not the case. These big kids are just, gosh, athletic as can be.
Do you think it's the yoga?
That's got to be the yoga.
You think they're stretching? It's got to be the yoga. Because it wasn't, well, yoga wasn't big back in the 80s while they were smoking cigarettes and drinking beer before the game.
Well, no, but ballet was popular, or not popular, but at least Lynn Swann made it more acceptable. And alternative methods of being able to be athletic and get the most out of your athletic ability.
What are these guys doing to stretch out, these big giant guys? Because you're right, they look like they do the splits, they can do it. I mean, it's unbelievable the flexibility of these really big people.
Right. Well, you look back, you know, I my first year was in 91, 92, or when I first came in the league, guys were still at that point coming into training camp to get in shape. It was right about that time that it started to change. I remember, gosh, I was with Minnesota and maybe it was Bobby Clark. I think it may one of those, but they came in and they started talking about, you know, coming into camp in shape and testing the guys and actually bringing some data to this game. Well, now it's the polar opposite. These guys are in such great shape and they have so many great programs, and yoga happens to be part of many guys' programs, but Egoscue stretching, I don't know if you've heard of that. It's a whole nother, you know, which I think is fantastic. There's all these little nuances. Workouts.
So, Blue, let me tell you about Egoscue. I was going to bring it up because my dad, who is turning 80 this year, for the last 40 years, has done Egoscue stretches for an hour and a half every day of his life.
Wow.
And this guy goes up, like, he lives in Maui. Like, he took my kids on a hike. My kids were ready to go to the emergency room when they were done with this hike. And my dad was plowing up this hill. Like it was, you know, like the Holy Grail was at the end of it.
Yeah. I'm a fan. I play hockey 2-3 days a week. I was pulling groins literally once every 2-3 months. And I'm like, I can't do this. This is ridiculous. Got introduced to Egoscue. Haven't pulled a groin since, if you do the work. So these guys have all of these things at their fingertips, you know, and they invest money. You know, when you're making $2, $3, $5, $7 million, you're going to put some money back into your body. I know in football, you look at some of these guys, I think it was Wilson, one of the quarterbacks I read about, you know, put up to $1 million a year just back into his trainers and what he eats and a personal chef. And these guys do the same, maybe not to that extent, but you have to have that little extra, that upper hand.
Yeah, I mean, the flexibility is incredible. And that brings me to that this Phoenix Copley, who's playing for the Kings now, and one of the guys I wanted to bring up with you, he's not a small guy. He's 6'4", pretty big guy, but he's been in the league a while. Yeah. And now, like, all of a sudden, he's playing for the Kings. Granted, he's got a pretty seasoned defense in front of him. We have to say that. But he looks great, and it's just, it's like he wasn't having those kind of successes on his other teams.
No, you know, and how do you, where does that come from? How does that happen? And some of it is you put a kid in the right system, you give him a little bit of confidence, you win a game and you get a little more confidence. And, you know, this Joel Hoffer that's in St. Louis, same thing, older kid, you know, been around a bit, but just right system, right time. And he's winning some hockey games. And I just read today that Bennington's coming back, but he's not sending him down. Berube said he's up here and doing a job. We're going to keep him around. And that's I like that. A great little challenge that's getting ready to happen there.
Blue, let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
So I want to play a little game with you for a second. You're Jonathan Quick. Okay.
So we're talking miracles here. Okay, go ahead.
You're Jonathan Quick. You're a two-time cup winner. You've given everything you've had to this team. You've been with them for years. you know, you played hurt, the whole thing. And like Apollo Creed said, they dropped him like a bad habit.
Yeah.
What do you think about that? Just to arbitrarily just get rid of a guy. What do you do in John, if you're Jonathan Quick? Do you then come back later on for alumni games for the Kings? Do you still like, hey, no guys, no hard feelings? Just to arbitrarily do that like that, there's got to be some hard feelings there going on.
Well, obviously there are some. He would have liked to have obviously finished his career in L.A. Now, let's call a spade a spade. He hasn't played his best hockey with the Kings as of lately. And then, you know, but now he goes to and gets a new picture, a new team, and he's playing, and he's won, his first four starts. He's got a 93 save percentage. He's low twos and his goals against. Maybe he just needed a little refresher. Now, that will help take the edge off of it. And knowing that where they're standing right now and the ability to potentially play his old team, I'm sure he's thrilled, you know.
Right, but you said, he struggled then. Hadn't he earned the right to at least maybe they sit him out, healthy scratch him for a week, do something, you know, in other words, just to get rid of him that way, as if he was just some kind of guy that came up, 6 months ago or something, and just, okay, you're gone. Like, I got a problem with that.
Respect-wise, has he earned the right? Absolutely. But you have to remember what we see with general managers and presidents and coaches. Their jobs are on the line, and their they're thinking beyond, you know, just being, faithful to a guy that's won them a couple cups that they think is on the back end of their career. It is a business at the end of the day. It is an other than it. Well, let's just look at the greatest of all time. How the hell does he end up in L.A.? I mean, there's money involved. There's all kinds of.
Well, I think he wanted to go. I think he wanted to leave. That's a different situation.
But why did he want to go? What was going on in Edmonton? My point, I think, is that it is a business. There's no way around it. You know, we would love to see great players like Jonathan Quick finish his career, put his jersey in the rafters and call it a day whenever it was time. But it's at the end of the day, this is a business, and these men are looking out for themselves and trying to do the best for their teams.
So you think then that he'll come back and like all is forgiven and they'll hang his jersey and it'll be a bunch of, hey, no hard feelings type of thing?
Yeah, I think, you know, he doesn't seem, I've, you know, when I hear him speak and have heard him talk, and I've never met him, but what I know of him, he's a good man.
I don't know. If I was him, I'd say you can hang my dirty boxer shorts. I'm not coming back to that city.
Nah.
You know, that's
too much history, too many cops, I don't know. Too much going on. He'll be back and he'll do the alumni. He'll do the, now it may take a little time, but I think his greatest poke back at the Kings right now is to run with the Vegas Knights. And, you know, as we look at the standings stood today, just as they are, we went into the playoffs, the Knights would play Winnipeg. The Kings would play Edmonton. Dallas would play Seattle, and Minnesota would play Colorado. If the Knights won their bracket and the Kings won their bracket, all of a sudden Quick's playing the Kings in the second round. I mean, that's the greatest thing ever.
That's awesome.
Just drop him. Yeah, that'd be great if he could just knock him
out. You know, you want to talk about just burying the hat. He wins that game, he'll be back for all alumni because it's basically an FU.
Oh, yeah, you'd rub their nose in it for sure.
Yeah,
I agree.
Yeah.
Still, so. I think for some players, a very limited list, especially with a goalie, and especially after winning two cups, you got to give them, I know it's a business, but you got to be able to figure a way to give them some kind of benefit of the doubt in some fashion if they're struggling. I just don't think you just trade them like that, but maybe that's why I'm not a GM and I'm a stupid neurologist sticking needles in people's spines. I don't know.
You are a hockey podcast co-host, so that's a big deal.
Yeah, but you know what I mean.
Smart neurologist, but it is, at the end of the day, it is a game. There, it's, you know, these guys are in a business. You would like to think that there'd be that much more commitment to guys who have done what they've done to teams, but it is what it is.
Maybe I'm angrier than he is. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know him.
You know, part of it helps that is he's not stuck in Columbus. Now, that would have exponentially made it probably worse if he's on Columbus paying for this crappy, you know. Yes. But that little switch around, he's probably smiling right now. Hey, easy flight for his family to come out and visit if they're not already there. You know, keep his kids in school, come back and forth.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, so I don't think it's as painful as it was that day when you read it and you're going, come on, Blakey, what are you doing? What are you guys doing trading them? You know,
yeah.
I don't think it's that sharp pain now that it was then. But still, nonetheless, you like to be able to hang that rafter and play with one team.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was, you know, I wasn't shocked by it because, you know, the Kings really look like they're on a run here and they're trying to get somewhere. So I think it wasn't surprising to me, but yeah, disappointing, especially after they just had that whole statue of Dustin Brown now is outside of the Crypto Center. I mean, it's incredible. And they really kind of, that those cup teams are sort of memorialized there. And then all of a sudden, like, and now John Quick, you're out.
So. Right. Hello and goodbye.
Hey, it's, you know, it's the old adage. We're with you to the end. And this is the end.
Yeah, exactly.
That's right. That does happen. And especially in hockey. And, you know, we've had Mike Commodore on and I love his hashtag.
What?
Hashtag pack your shit.
Oh, yeah. Know that better than anyone. Yep. Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, Blue, you have a little of experience with that. It's part of being the NHL if you want to get in, right?
Yeah. Yeah. You gotta pack the bag. Six teams in 1 year in the minors. Just before I ended up with Boston. But six, I remember waking up in a hotel. I didn't know where the hell I was. Just going, what? Going on, where am I, you know, just from team to team to team, and it's a part of the game unless you're one of those superstars and you get to, you know, stick with the team most of your career.
Yeah, and Sean Pronger's, you know, his as opposed to Chris Pronger, Sean Pronger's book Journeyman. I mean, it's he wasn't kidding.
Nope.
Definitely recommend.
Have you had
that
Prongs on lately?
Yeah, we haven't talked to him in a while. We need to see what he's up to and get his take on this stuff too, because usually I see him at some Ducks alumni thing or whatever, but he hasn't been around. So,
yeah.
So the other goalie I wanted to bring up with you before this playoffs get going, because, you know, the Rangers look like they've got some new weapons acquiring Patrick Kane and the way that they're playing, and they're the guys that they brought in, this Kaapo Kakko and Lafreniere, these guys are coming to fruition. And now is Shesterkin that good of a goalie? Is he a cup winning goalie?
I mean, I don't know how you can argue that he's not. I saw, you know, gosh, just the Rangers in general right now, and then behind his play, you know, the last two games, these guys look good. I mean, it's a tough division, but they look really good. Shesterkin is just showing up. You know, you look at his numbers and talk about, you know, Ullmark, who's got, you know, 34 wins. Well, Shesterkin has 32. You know, everybody's talking about the Bruins and Ullmark. And yes, unbelievable season. 197 goals against, 93 save percentage. Well, Shesterkin, 32 wins, you know, 91 saves and 257. Their numbers are higher, but he's a hell of a goalie. I really like him. And I think it's scary to me, the Bruins, because you go wire to wire. Rarely do you see a team that goes wire to wire, you know, in the regular season, go wire to wire in the playoffs. And you see the way that the Rangers, you know, added a couple key pieces. You see the way that the Toronto Maple Leafs added a couple key pieces. You look at, you know, those teams over there and what they're doing to prepare for the mighty Boston Bruins. It's going to be interesting. There's so much parity over there. You know, again, if I pulled it up and looked, if the playoffs started today, you got the Devils and the New York Rangers. Dear Lord, what a phenomenal matchup. The Devils, what a great story they are and how they're playing. And it's just, you know, that's a coin flip. Carolina and the Islanders, you know, Carolina is I think, a stronger team. Toronto Maple Leafs and Tampa Bay. There's another one, you know. And the Bruins would start up with Pittsburgh if everything started today. So
what about Colorado? What about Colorado? That's the one I wanted to ask you about, Gorgiev.
Well, okay, let's look at his numbers too. He's got 31 wins. So we've got Ullmark with his 34, and Gorgiev has 31. His numbers look fantastic, and they seem like they're surging a little bit right now.
But here's the thing: isn't their numbers really reflective of their defense? Not taking anything away from their ability, but isn't it more a reflection of the defense on these top tier teams than them in particular? Like, in other words, if they're facing less shots, less quality shots, like, in other words, does it pad their numbers? Are these guys really that good? Or is it because the team is that? That's like, you know, maybe an age old question. I don't know if we can answer that, but with these guys, what are your thoughts?
Look, yes, but okay. Let me look at some stats here. Colorado, Gorgiev is 1,558 shots or 1,553 shots he's faced. Where Ullmark is 1,252, you know, Shesterkin 1,471. Those are some high amounts of shots that they're facing. I'm looking to see who's.
Yeah, but you got a guy like Makar that's going to be forcing the guy to the edge. He's like flipping the net, puck on the net. Not a real good shot or a high percentage slot. You know what I mean? That, like a shot, obviously, but if it's.
I always hated guys like you that said things like that because, you know, I'll take. Dribbler that hits me in the chest that is impossible to go through. I'll take that as a like, oh, they're shy. But there's truth to that. But you know,
I wasn't trying to be offensive. I'm just saying that obviously a sharper angle shot,
understood.
A great defenseman from the outside, pushing the deep, pushing the offensive guy with the puck to the out, and he just happens to flick it in, or you know, I mean, obviously we don't have a breakdown, and I'm not looking for the minutia, but. Isn't there something to be said for some of these great teams with the great defense? Is on those teams, are these goalies that you're mentioning?
Yes.
Is it them that'll be the difference maker, or just because they're playing as a team with the defense in front of them? That's, I think, where I have a tough time with some of these guys to see if they'd be playing on a mid-level team, if they'd be winning games and stealing games. That's the question. Right.
So my answer to that is yes.
Okay. Then that's all I need to know.
It's I don't think it's either or, especially when you get into the playoffs. So, you know, you have to have a goalie who can steal one in the playoffs, whether it be a game or a couple shots. Great goaltending is this: you stop the ones you're supposed to, and you steal one once in a while. You get out of the league when you stop stopping the ones that you're supposed to.
Right.
Across the board, most goalies at that level can steal one. They're athletic. It's that consistency. Of the ones that you got to have, the one that you got to have, the one that's in the high, you know, slot or a wide angle that, you know, all those ones that deflate the team, the ones that you go, you know, when you look at Shesterkin, you go, I'm not worried about it. Let me give those shots to them. But I think, as I said, it's both because you need a strong goaltender in the playoffs to get hot and play well in order to win the Stanley Cup. There's too many games, too many hard games, too many good teams. So yes, but it also as we look as it, you know, we go from, you know, from the first round to the second round to the conference finals, what you're seeing is the cream rises the crop. Now, all of a sudden you have two teams that are maybe the top defensive teams, but then you throw it in the playoffs, things may open up a little bit. You got the refs might play the game a little differently. You have different aspects that you're looking at there. At the end of the day, let's go back to what we said in the beginning. Just stop the puck, you know, and I don't care what angle it's from. I don't care how good or bad of a shot. The guy who just stops the puck is the one who's going to end up, you know, leading his team. Sounds pretty simple. Stop the puck. I played that one in college and we played against North Dakota my junior year and they were stacked. They had Ed Belfour, they had Tony Herkes, they just had a stacked team. And every time we go into North Dakota, we just drug. They just flying and would hammer us. And we went to practice. We lost the series and I lost both games. And it wasn't blowouts or anything, but close games. But Doug Wu was our coach and great guy, great coach. we go to practice the next week, and I'm warming up in my crease before practice on a Monday. He comes over with a bag of pucks, and he just drops them in front of me. He's like, just stop one. Just stop one puck, and then skate it away. I'm like, holy shnikes. All right. And the reason I say that is, look, you got one job as a goalie. Just stop the puck.
Yeah, I guess that, you know, I was talking to Jay, and I have talked about this before, that as some of the series have gone on the last, say, 5 to 10 years, you can think of some of these prominent goalies. You knew at some point with the most recent cup winners and some of the teams that kind of went a distance, but mostly with the cup winners, that their goalie was going to steal a game. No matter what it was, there's some of these guys that come to mind. Quick was one of the guys again to bring him up again. Yeah. You knew in this series, no matter if it was the first round or the cup finals, he's going to steal a game for you.
Yeah. Well, that, you know, that's why Tampa scares me.
Yeah.
He can steal a game. Not only can he steal a game, he can steal a series.
Yeah.
You know, he's that good that he could. You look at some of these teams playing, and you got, you know, the Maple Leafs, and can Murray still, I mean, steal a series? He won a couple cups with Pittsburgh. Who knows? I think Ullmark, the way they're playing, they could steal a game or a series. And I think that's a great, great point. And that's why Tampa, even though they're, you know, they're people kind of just dusted them off a little bit, that team scare, I wouldn't want to be facing them. The Bruins are going to have to go through them or Toronto.
I don't see Murray being one of those guys. I don't see him being one of those guys that you know he's going to step up for one game that they need, like an away game or something.
Yeah.
Then come up and steal a game. I don't know. Jay, what do you think? I mean, I don't know.
Yeah. Murray has been my brother and I were just talking about like how he just never got his head straight, you know, and he still hasn't, you know, he's been around a few different teams and he's never had the, I'm going to make this happen kind of, I don't know, maybe he has, but it just, we haven't seen it. And I would be concerned if I was going in the playoffs with Murray as my, you know, lead goaltender.
Well, and fortunately they don't do, you know, they've got Samsonov who's having a heck of a year, you know, 24-8 with a 235 and 91 save percentage. I think Murray has absolutely, I don't like the word resurrected his career, but I think in Toronto, he's reestablished himself in a good way. And I love.
Yeah, I would agree with that. He's reestablished himself.
Yeah. It takes some time to change the scenery for guys to sometimes, you know, do well. I mean, look, I mean, the Wings traded away Vrana, and he's had like, what, 5 goals in the last 7 games there or whatever else. And he's.
Yeah,
he had some off ice issues, and we honestly don't know the details of that. Obviously, whatever it was, Yzerman wasn't going to have it, and that was it. You know, so it does take a change of scenery for some guys to sometimes just say, "Look, I need to get my head clear," and you know, a new uniform, new surroundings, and boom, get a new player.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you guys: is there a goalie in Edmonton that can steal a game, a series, because that will.
The goalie that can steal the series there is having Draisaitl and McDavid score more goals than the other team every single game. Cause that's all it's going to be.
Yeah. Yes, I agree.
They remind me of like the 91, 92, 93 Pittsburgh Penguins, how they just, you know, Tom Barrasso, they wished him good luck and went to the other end to try to score goals. And they said, you know, somebody comes down here, try and stop them. We're going to be over there. And, you know, they would win games 6-5, 7-6, four, five, you know,
Campbell, though, wasn't he like the heir apparent to Quick when he was coming up with Ontario and then he brought him up into the Kings, and then it was like he's going to be the next guy. That's what we're going to ride him, you know, to a couple championships, and that obviously didn't work out. Was it his fault, or was it just in a rebuild? I don't know if it was his fault.
Yeah, you know, he flashes of brilliance. So he had a great year last year, and he in a really strong year in Toronto, and you know, paid off, signed a nice contract with Edmonton. But this year has been tougher. And you look at Skinner, and he's either workhorse, and that's going to be an interesting one. You know, you got the Kings. In Edmonton, like I said, at this point, they play each other in the playoffs. But it'll be really interesting.
Makes you wonder why Holland didn't go out and really just try to do whatever he could to get that number one goalie. Maybe he tried. I don't know, but clearly Colorado did. You know, when they got him Gorgiev from New York. So yep. You know, but I don't know. I don't see Edmonton once again. I don't see them doing much this playoff year. I don't know. I think you're right about that.
It's always a disappointment. Last year, Kemper. I mean, do you remember him stealing games? Do you remember him stealing the series? You know,
I don't remember that. I mean, I think we talked about it too. I think he was mostly just kind of very solid across the board. I don't think it was really down to him as much as it was that he had such a great defense in front of him.
Right.
You know, he faced like 18 shots.
What was that?
Yeah.
He faced like 18 shots in some of those playoff games.
Yeah. And, but exactly. But, you know, and again, not taking anything away from him personally, I just don't know if it was something, I don't recall that ever being like, you know, boy, if it wasn't for Kemper and his performance, the Avs would have definitely lost that game or that series. I don't remember that being the issue at any point.
No, I like that in many ways, that it's, you know, if you're that well-rounded, your goalie is not the one that is, you know, having to save your ass, so to speak, but when's the last time you can remember a goalie winning a Stanley Cup for their team? That if he doesn't play like that, they do not win.
Probably I can't think of one.
What'd you say, Hashin?
I mean, even though the team was, I think, probably the best team ever assembled on ice, 2001, 2002 Wings, I don't think without Hasek there, I don't know if that's going to be the same team.
Yeah, and to your point, they're another team where similar to, if I remember correctly, to Pittsburgh, where offensive they were just, and they'd leave him high and dry, and he'd make his acrobatic saves, and, you know, and Hull would be at the far blue line.
Yeah, I mean it's a interesting point
we can go with Binnington with the Blues. That was a hell of a performance. That was the one in the most recent years.
You know what? That
stood out. Say, boy, if it wasn't for Binnington playing that way, I don't know if he's the same goalie right now that he was before, but everything came down. It was lightning in a bottle, boom. And I think he was literally the reason why they got as far as they did and won.
Yeah. No, that's true.
That's the only one that really kind of stands out in my head in the recent era.
Yeah, that does make that is true, because, you know, without him, it would have been a very different series. He really did. He did kind of steal a bunch of games, if I remember correctly, through multiple series.
Yeah.
Yeah. The final two shutouts, I think, for the last two games of the Cup final, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think it was. You know, the one that really needs to step in that way to establish and solidify who he is as a top tier goalie is Hellebuck. Mm-hmm. You know, regular season after regular season after regular season, this guy's numbers are top. You know, he's got 30 wins this year. He's got 90 save percentage, 2.6 goals against. You know, I think when I look at him and I watch him in the regular season, I'm like, this guy could carry a team in through the playoffs. We haven't seen it yet, but I really believe that potentially that he is that kind of player where he could carry his team through the playoffs, deep into the playoffs.
He's got a good team in front of him. I like those Jets. They got a lot of talent. They are stacked up and they're aggressive. I like the way they play. They're fun to watch too.
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely. What about the Kraken? What did you guys, you know, Seattle Kraken? I mean, that's a great story. They've got like, I think I read four or five players that are 40 plus points. I mean, just a well-balanced, a good, solid hockey team. You know,
yeah, they're playing great. You know, they're fun. They are. They've got, you know, that Jared McCann. I was bummed when the Pens gave him up to the draft, but he's you know, their scoring leader, and he's doing great. You know, they've got real players on that team. They made good moves in the offseason too, and you know, they're impressive. I mean, they really are, and I think they. I don't know where they'll go in the playoffs. You know, that's always a question mark, but they've got some bang for their buck on that team for sure. I thought Buffalo would be here though, Blue. I thought they might be, you know, they got some big guys scoring big goals. I mean, that Tage Thompson's, you know, he's a beast, that guy.
Ridiculous. You watch him play and his size and speed, just a package. Good
God. Yeah, he's enormous. And he's such a dangerous shooter.
I'll tell you this, the one guy I'm really happy for is Jack Eichel. Again, he got ran out of town.
Yeah. To
Vegas. He had a hat trick, was the last one the day before, you know, and he's doing well after his neck surgery. And I think he made the right call for himself. And, you know, they drummed him out of town as other players have been drummed out of their towns respectively. And, you know, he's on a team that has a chance to go deep into the playoffs. So I'm rooting for him.
Yeah, that early in that trade, I'm like, I don't know if I like that. But now I think Vegas, you know, they're looking like we made a pretty good deal here.
Yeah, yeah.
Blue, I appreciate you coming on tonight. I don't want to keep you all night long. Just one last question. Who's winning the Stanley Cup?
I got to go with Boston. I know I said it's one of the hardest things to do, go wire to wire, but goodness, these guys, you know what? I don't remember seeing a team have so much fun playing the game. I don't remember.
It's true.
And there's a discipline and they've got some great leader. You know, they're not, you don't go, you know, end to end with superstars. You don't look on that roster and go, they're having fun. They're disciplined. They're going to be tough. It's not going to be easy. It's not going to be easy, but I think they will be able to do that and go wire to wire. So, you guys,
Jason, who's winning the cup?
I mean, it's so hard to go against Boston. They're just playing so well. I don't want to get lured into the whole, you know, President's Trophy curse thing and everything else. But so I'm going to probably be a dissenter. And I'm going to probably go. Okay, let me put it this way. The winner's definitely coming out of the East. You can quote me on that.
I think so.
I'll probably go with Tampa on this one. I think Tampa comes back and resurrects everything, and they come back and, you know, blindside a few teams.
Are you?
Yeah.
You know? And then I think the Rangers are a dark horse. I think they can, you know, they get to that, the Devils, and get a little bit of, confidence, and then you get either the Hurricanes or the Islanders, if that stays as it is.
Such a tough, I mean, it's unbelievable the East with these teams. One after another. And it's just, I don't think the West is going to be, Western Conference is going to have a prayer when it comes down, whoever comes out of that East, that bloodbath.
They're just hoping they beat the hell out of one another. They grind seven game, and just beat the snot out of one another and come in limping to the finals.
Yeah. That is the only hope for the Western Conference teams, is that they're just so beat up by the time they get to the cup, because it is going to be, I mean, those teams are just stacked, and nobody in the Western Conference has anything on that. The Metro Division, it's tough over there. There's just too much talent and too much chemistry with these teams.
Do you think it's possible that the Western Conference is going to have like an expansion draft of the Eastern Conference players? Just to get some of those guys over and balance things out.
We'll take Mika Zibanejad right now. guy is on fire. I just love watching him play. Forget it.
Love him play. You know, the other thing is, with the beauty of hockey is playoff time, they let him play. It's not the NFL, you know, some ticky-tack call that costs a Super Bowl, you know, or that stupid. Was so mad after that. I'm like, hockey, they don't do that. They just let them play, and they bang up. I mean, guys are – it's just nothing better.
Playoff be great. Well, John Blue, thank you for coming on to give us the goalie roundup. Really appreciate it. We'll be looking forward to what happens in the playoffs, and we'll see how this goes. I mean, is Boston the winner? That could be, but there's a lot of teams looking to upset them. So we'll you got, that's why you play the games. We'll have to see him at the end.
Yeah, well, let's maybe we get on here again before deep in the playoffs. We can see how smart we are.
Here's one more quick question. I'll let you go.
Yeah,
Connor McDavid. If the Edmonton Oilers do not win the Cup this year, which I don't think they're going to, at what point does Connor McDavid just say, "I'm done here. I got to get out"?
Gosh, that's a tough one. I think, you know, as a general manager and owner, I think at some point you got to dismantle and go another direction. What could you get for McDavid, a Draisaitl, someone? I mean, you could rebuild a nice team with some draft choices and some players, but I you can't just, you know, what's the definition of insanity?
Doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result.
Yeah, and that's.
Yeah, I agree with you. I just, for him, he's got to say to himself, look, there's a shelf life on my career at some point.
Yeah.
And I think Jay and I even talked about this like 4 years ago. He is not winning a cup at Edmonton. That is not going to happen. He is not winning a cup there. If he wants to win a cup, he's got to go to another team.
Yeah. You'd hate to see him be the Dan Marino of the NHL.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a great, exactly.
You know, I hated to see Dan do that. And you'd hate to see this too good of a player. And Draisaitl. I mean, another kid, man, that is just deserves a shot at the cup. Maybe it's a Ray Bourque situation. You know, maybe it's a little more towards the end and they move them, you know.
I don't think he'd wait that long.
Yeah.
I just don't see him waiting that long. I mean, he's all the comparisons to Gretzky and everything else, and he just doesn't have the support staff around him. To get the job done. And I feel bad for the guy. I do, because, you know, there's so much high expectations, especially in the city. Great fans in Edmonton. I feel for the city. I really do. They deserve a winner. And they have everything. They're so close.
Yeah.
They just I mean, they've had how many number one overall picks or top three picks in the last 12 years?
Yeah.
You know? I mean, it's I couldn't even tell you right now. So I think he's going to have to bolt at some point and just say, I got to take my chance on the free. I don't even know how much longer he has on his contract.
Yeah. Yeah. How old is he right now? I don't even know that. He's what? Late 20s.
He's got to be 26 or 27 years old at this point. I'm not sure, but
he's got another year or two in him then. Good.
Yeah. Yeah. He's got a couple 26. More.
He's 26.
Oh Lord. Yeah. He's that'll be
it's unbelievable.
Yep, definitely. All right, guys.
All right, gentlemen.
Have me. Great to be with you.
Thanks again. John Blue, this is the Dr. Hockey Podcast, signing off with your prescription for the NHL.
Thanks for listening to Dr. Hockey. Check out new episodes every Thursday and subscribe on Apple Podcasts or at podcastone.com.